Well, happy Mother's Day once again, church. Come on, let's give all the moms one more big hand today. Awesome. And on your way in on the back table, you might have walked by it, but there's cakes for all moms and all ladies 18 and up. Everybody gets a cake this morning. No, I'm not going to eat this one. I pulled it aside for my wife to make sure she's with the kids today. And so we just have a special gift for you afterwards as just a special encouragement to you, and you'll pick those up on your way out. Pastor Ben Kendrew, he's our Brighton Heights campus pastor. He, in seminary, they taught him that there were three holy days every year. There was Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. You got it. Come on. It's a holy day. And there's days you can forget, but this ain't one of them. Come on. And where would we be without all the moms out there? And just so, so thankful for all of them. Now, listen, I know I'm going to be sharing today just on generations and how we pass on a legacy and what we do here. And we're continuing with our series of What Do I Believe? And it's easy to look at all of our shortcomings. It's easy to look at like what we see wrong and the way we see ourselves. But just as an encouragement to you, our grandson just turned 2 years old. They were walking through the store, and he saw this box on the store shelf right here. And he identified that as me. Come on, somebody. And I took that as a big compliment. Come on there. Yes, come on. Yeah. He said, that's Pops. And I said, they sent me the video. And I said, that's right. That's me. Come on. And I said, so whenever he comes to my house, he can have as many of those nutrition bars as he wants. Come on. And so what I'm trying to say is we look at ourselves a certain way, but a generation looks at us differently. A generation looks at us differently, whether it's natural children and grandchildren or whether it's other people in the church, the next generation. They see us different. And what I'm going to ask us to do today is put aside how we see ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us. Yeah, we're in the middle of this series here. What do I believe even when I don't know what I believe? See, it's been said like this. When we become followers of Jesus, and we say, Jesus, I want you to be the forgiver of my past and leader of my future. I want Jesus. I want to live for you. At that moment, we spend the rest of our lives figuring out what happened in that moment. That's what we do. That's what church is. We're figuring out what happened in that moment. The same thing, let me tell you this, is true about marriage. Natalie and I, we're going to be celebrating 35 years, married this October. And what happened? It was a great adventure. Yes, we do. God says, I do too. It was awesome, great. And I'm going to tell you this. Some days, marriage is an adventure. Yeah. And there's other days, it's a mystery. Yeah. The same thing's true with following God. There's sometimes it's adventure, everything's clicking, everything's good, and there's other times it's a mystery. God, where are you? Am I right? And the parents that stood up here today, there's going to be some days with your children, it's going to be an adventure. You're going to stand up in the crowd and say, that's my kid. And there's going to be other days, it's a mystery. Come on, somebody. See, that's life, adventure and mystery. And sometimes that's that way with God. Some days it's an adventure. Some days it's great. Some days it's clicking. And then there's other times with God we're wondering, hey, God, where are you? And that's what we're figuring out here. But we're going back to foundational principles. That's what we're doing here. Psalm 145, verse 4, one generation will praise your works to the next one, proclaiming your mighty acts. Yeah, one generation proclaiming to the next. Now, why is this so significant? Why? Because history, we've learned a lot over the last, actually, decades here. What we learned about the Gen X, and that is people like early 40s to later 50s, right in there. The Gen X, those people, were the most churched generation ever. There was more money spent on the church. There was more money spent on that generation. And they were the most churched generation in history as kids. Unfortunately, they're the most least churched as adults. So what we have to learn is we have to learn, what are we doing here? Now, millennials, the ones coming after that, yeah, millennials here, one third of millennials actually don't have any religious association at all. We're talking about young people who have grown up in the church, don't have any association with the church at all. They consider themselves the duns. They consider themselves not connected to anything. No religious affiliation. What I'm trying to say to you with these most encouraging statistics is we can't just rest on somebody else to do it. We can't just rest on what we think might work. Church, we got to get serious here. But I want to tell you today what I believe and what I see the trend doing here. The generation that's growing up now, that Gen Z and up through what we have now, I believe that they're going to be one of the most significant generations that we've ever seen in the last, listen, 50, 60, 70, and 80 years. No, I thought that would get you excited. I'm sorry. I just no, see, this is why, because I believe there's a hunger to go back to the Word of God. I believe there's a hunger for the real deal. I believe there's a hunger for spirituality like I haven't seen in a long time in young people. And so when I communicate to you today, what do I believe, even when I don't know what to believe, it's how do I pass on to a generation? And what this applies to is not just parenting, but it applies to all discipleship. Because Jesus said to make disciples. And so we're making disciples of our kids. We're making disciples of one another. Am I right? And so that's what we're doing here today. We're reminding ourselves about what matters most. So here's the big idea. Here it is. What we believe will be passed on when we become a generation of covenant, commandment, and communication. This is what I want to unwrap for you today out of Deuteronomy chapter 6. So here's a statement for you. Legacy is not leaving something for someone, but leaving something inside of someone. Everybody chooses their legacy. Your legacy is not handed to you. You choose what your legacy is. We choose by the decisions we make what we're going to leave, not just for, not just a bigger inheritance, but inside of the next generation. We get to do that as a church because at Bridge City Church, we're a church of generations. That's what we believe. So in order to go forward, we're going to go back all the way to the book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book in the Bible. Yeah, the fifth book in the Bible, Deuteronomy. And it's a time when Moses is given a farewell. And God's people, how many of you are God's people here? God's people are standing in Moab, looking at the promised land. I just said, I believe that what we have to do can be done. I believe it will be done. I believe it shall be done. I believe we're going to see a generation fear God and know Him and serve Him and please Him, and they're going to pick up the banner. I believe that with all my heart. Listen, and so they're looking at here. So Leviticus, two books earlier, it's a book written to Levitical priests. They were in charge of sacrifices and offerings. But Deuteronomy is written to everyday ordinary people like you and me. Deuteronomy is written to us, and it's written in repetition. It's written as a sign of remember, remember, remember. Do you know one of the reasons why I believe God wants us to get together every Sunday? To help us remember. Am I right or wrong? We need reminded. We need reminded of the promises of God. We need reminded that He has a plan. Here, in Deuteronomy, one more thought. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, in a significant moment in His life where He was tempted in what He believes about God, tempted to believe what He believes about Himself, and tempted about His future. In each temptation from the devil, He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. Could there be a connection? Could there be a connection that when we, you and me, are faced with temptation about who is God, who am I, who are we, and when I'm tempted to maybe give up on my future with God, could it be that the key is found back in Deuteronomy? See, there's a connection between these two things. And so we see sometimes as the Old Testament, as well as it's old, it's outdated, but I'm going to show you how it correlates here today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 3. These are the commands and decrees and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy. And you and your children and grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Bridge City Church, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God, your ancestors promised you. How many of you parents out there have ever either said out loud or thought, I want my kids to have it better off than me? You either thought it or you said it, okay? Yeah, but I think if we don't give definition to that, then we're going to be swept up into just this world's thinking rather than what does that mean? And here we find the first thing, it's about covenant. Now, covenant's not a word that we use a lot in our day and age. Covenant is an agreement. We have a covenant with God. We watch parents make a covenant with God. I'm going to do my part. God's going to do his part. The difference between covenant and contract is this, is that covenant, when you break a covenant, it's considered immoral. It's considered immoral in that way. When you break it, it's a betrayal of trust. Contracts are written so that you can break them. Covenants have no breakage of them. So are we a people of covenant? Now let's look at this word testament. There's the Old Testament and the New Testament in our Bible. This word testament is associated with the word covenant. So what if we, when we read our Bible, we thought, I'm not just reading the Old Testament, old stories, I'm reading an old covenant. And what if I said, I'm going to read the new covenant? God is a covenant God. And so what we need to do is when we become covenant with God, I'm going to do my part, he's going to do his part. But not only do we have covenant with God, we made a covenant together today that we're all going to support and help these parents in a crazy world raise their children in such a way that's going to please and honor him. That's all of our job, not just theirs. It starts with them. It starts in the home, but it's all of our job. Just like when you come to church, we all have a responsibility in this agreement with a covenant here. God led them to a place not to be self-ruled, but to be God-ruled. The goal of any generation, when you come to church, and maybe you're new here, our goal is to get you to be God-ruled, not self-ruled. How many of you have realized that self-rule didn't go so well? Anybody here? Yeah, self-rule doesn't work so well. God-rule works a lot better. That's what the goal is. That's what what we're working towards here. The second thing Moses said is that they would fear God. The fear of God. To love what God loves, hate what God hates, but this is the key here, living as if we're going to stand before God and give an account. That is the fear of God. So when we prayed this morning, when we're praying for you, listen, that we would all live in such a way that we know we're going to stand before God and give an account. What do we believe about that day? What do we believe about that in all our hearts and lives? This is significant because it will determine every decision we make in our life. Every decision we make will be determined by, could I be able to stand before God and give an account for this? It changes. Just think how many arguments at home that they would diminish just like that if we realized how foolish this was in light of standing before God in eternity. Or problems and struggles that we have. This is the fear of God. But we're saved. Listen, we are saved. And we use that word, God saves me from myself. We're saved by believing God's promises, not by believing that we can figure it all out on our own. We are saved not by saying, I want to try harder, but saying, I am going to believe in the promises of God's word. This is why we need reminded. This is why we need reminded of all these things. And sowing and reaping is found in these last couple verses. Come on, this is the way the rule goes with kids and with a generation. It works like that in our lives too, sowing and reaping. When you believe God and you obey him, you are blessed. When you disobey him, you are not so blessed. See, it's sowing, reaping. Life has that attached to it. Whether you're at work, whether you're in the community, whether all of life, that's what works, sowing and reaping. I believe God is good. I believe he has good rewards. It's a mystery at times, but I still believe it. I believe it with all my heart. Now I want to move into the next part here in Deuteronomy 6. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 through 6. Now this is known in Jewish culture as the Shema. The Shema means to hear. It means to pay attention to. It means, hey, pay attention. It means, hey, you got to get this. Actually, this prayer that we're going to actually say these words out loud together. In a Jewish home, they pray this every morning and every evening. Actually, there's other verses that they pray, they say too. But it literally, every single morning out loud, they say it together. And then in the evening, I know what you're thinking. Well, that just sounds religious. That sounds like rote. Well, how many of you all know that quoting the Bible out loud, whether it sounds religious or rote, it's better than not doing it at all. Am I right? You know, and what would happen if we took a generation and we said, you know, what are we going to stand for? This is the essence. This is the foundation. This is the formation of faith. This is what's so significant in the Jewish culture. So can y'all see these words? We're going to say this out loud together. Y'all are going to help me, okay? Okay, we're going to pretend like we're down Squirrel Hill and we're in a good Jewish congregation right now, okay? But you don't have to have a head covering. You're good. Okay, y'all ready? Y'all ready here? Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. That is what's communicated over and over and over and over in the Jewish culture here. As a matter of fact, there's other things that they repeat on a daily basis as well. In Deuteronomy 11, in Numbers 15. But it's one God. We live in a culture that has many gods, small g, but there's only one God. Big deal. What do we believe? In previous weeks, we covered about God being creator. We covered about God the Father. We're just going to continue on this series because we got to go back to what do I really believe and why. That is so, so key in here. So when Jesus actually quoted this, he quoted this in Mark. And when Jesus quoted this, they were questioning him about what was the greatest commandment. There were 613 commands at that point. And so he was, and when he quoted this, he said, the most important commandment in Mark 12, 29, he quotes it, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only one Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What's the difference between this and what we read in Deuteronomy? There's one key word. He added mind. Now, I want to just show you here why he did that. See, the heart in Jewish culture, the heart included the intellect, ability to think, critical decision making. It was the center of your being. So in Hebrew culture, the heart was everything you had. It was the way you think. It was the way you process. It was the way you come to conclusions. In Greek culture, they didn't have the same concept of heart. So in Greek culture, Jesus, because he knew who he was communicating to, he added mind because they wouldn't have heard that. As a matter of fact, God's people were accused of being mindless, of being like you shut your mind off. It's unreasonable. It's illogical for Christianity. When Christianity is one of the most reasonable, logical faiths on the planet, when you study it out, it has intellect, but it has faith attached to it. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we don't shut our minds off. Jesus was re-emphasizing, saying, no, it's both. But here it's intellect, and a soul is the wholeness of a person. It's muchness. It's everything you got here. See, everything else in life flows from this commandment here. That's it. See, one of the biggest reasons why millennials don't want to come to church is because they say that the people in church don't really believe the Bible. They say that we really don't believe what we say we believe because we're not acting like it. And I think there's nothing further than the truth when you look at the whole, the Old Covenant, Old Testament, the New Covenant, the New Testament, and you put them together, they tell a picture, and it's God's story, and it's valid, it's logical, it's reasonable, it's faith-filled, and it's joy-filled, where God puts us under his rule. This is why here. But we live in a day and age where everybody's fixated on God loves me and God loves me. And yes, it's true God loves you. I mean, come on, where's my moms out there? Or who had a mom that loved them? Yeah, there's nothing like mom's love because they moms can look past a multitudes of sin. Am I right? Just think about your mom just for a second. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, they can, but we're fixated on God loves me rather than why. I don't see too many people saying, I want to get fixated on the greatest commandment. How are we as God's people, how is our house going to live that we're going to love God with all of our hearts, our minds, our soul, our strength, with everything we got, let it please and honor God. I believe this makes for generational strength. That's what it is. So last but not least, as we go forward in verses 7 through 9 in Deuteronomy, we see 7 through 9 communication here. Repeat them again and again to your children. And I always like the statement that when you become a mom, you lose your ability to say anything just once. It just tends to come out and multiple times in ways there. Yeah. Yeah. Talk about them when you were at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on the forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates here. This word here is repeat them again and again. Train them. Talk to them. This is similar to the word train that I used earlier today in training. But this word here literally means that it has the connotation of chiseling out something. See, if we're going to see a generation, whether it's spiritually with disciples in Jesus' church or whether it's with kids in a generation, you got to see beyond the exterior and what's on the interior. You got to see that there's a person of God waiting to come out. And I'm going to tell you the sound of a generation that's being formed for God. It sounds like this. I know many of you are waiting for me to hit my knuckles. Come on. I've been practicing this for days now. But this, we're going to chisel out. I know there's somebody in there. I know there's something good in there. I know, and we're going to chisel, and we're going to hammer, and we're going to repeat it again and again and again. Yes, at bedtime, at drive time, at dinner time, in morning time, we're going to quote it out loud, and we're going to keep chiseling. Now, I want to let you know something. As you're chiseling your kids, every now and then you're going to get kind of close and you're going to nick them and they're going to bleed. But surely they will not die. Every now and then in church life, whether you're in a small group or whatever it is we're doing, every now and then somebody's chiseling, ooh, and we get nicked. And we ooh, that hurt. But surely we will not die because we know that somebody believes in us. And every time something a little hurts, we're going to keep chiseling. We're going to keep hammering day after day and time after time. And I want to tell you today that I believe in a generation, if we keep chiseling and we keep looking beyond what we see on the outside, the rough outside, and we see on the inside, something great's on the inside, and we're going to see it come to pass. That's what we're going to see. But it's going to take some work. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some all of us working together here. That's what we see. We're going to sharpen them. Here it is. We're going to work with them over and over and over here. That's what we're going to do. We're chiseling out. But what do I believe See, once we become a people of covenant relationship with God and we live the greatest commandment, now we can communicate it to others. Covenant and commandment make a culture that we can communicate. And we communicate the truths of God. Where do we communicate the truths of God? Everywhere we go. Morning time, lunchtime, dinner time, bedtime, drive time. I'm telling you, there's great times all around us that we can communicate truth. This is how it affects our entire lives over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, what we just read, is actually, in some Jewish Orthodox cultures, they literally, they take those words and they bind them up and they put them on their hands. But they also put them in their homes, called the mezuzah or mezuzah. And different translations and different Jewish history will tell you both of those. They literally, inside of this, is all the words of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Sometimes they put other words. They fold them up and they put them in there. And every time they walk in and out from their home, they touch it to remind themselves that their lives are connected to the covenant. Their lives are connected to a great commandment. That their lives are connected to a generation before them and a generation after them, because that is powerful. It's almost like, and some of you guys might know that in different places, Notre Dame's the most famous, play like a champion today. And before they go on the field, everybody touches that, play like a champion today. Or maybe there's different sayings in different football teams or soccer, whatever. This is that. You say, well, that's religious. It can become religious, but it doesn't have to. We can say, I'm united to this promise. I'm united. And if we want to move forward, we got to go backwards to Deuteronomy and see how our lives are connected to this. The center of all of our being are connected right here to this. That's how we teach. That's why we do what we call Growth Track coming up next week. Growth Track is a Sunday night. We're not just going to give you fish. We're going to teach you how to fish. This is designed to actually go through with actually junior and senior high kids so you can go through it together and discuss. We're going to help you have a way to grow. Not just tell you what you need to know, but tell you how to develop a growing life with Jesus Christ. That's what we do. We do it for 3 hours. We have childcare. We go through the basics of how do you grow. This is why we do it. Because everything we do has generations attached to it. Everything. It's a generation that we're after here. That's why we have what we call Victory and Freedom Weekend. It's a weekend where Friday nights we get together. And then all day Saturday from 8 in the morning till 9 at night. Actually, the men will be meeting right here on June 8th. And if you want your kids to have it better off than you, and if you want the next generation, you may be sitting here today, you say, I don't have kids right now, or I never did. If you still want a generation to have it better off than you, this is for you. This is how to do it. Let's get healed of our past so we can be free to live in our future. That's what we can do for a generation. I want us to see these things generational. Pittsburgh mission trip that we do at the end of June. It's designed so families can do it together. Bring your kids. This year, our Buffalo trip has more families going on that trip to serve a whole week together. Why? Because that's vital that we provide opportunities for generations to grow up and generations to know Him. See, I want us to see this generationally and what's being passed on. Now, I want to close up with this today. And there were several different surveys done. And they found in 3 different surveys, the John Daner's study, USA Today, and the Barna Group, they found that even today, 75% of kids that grow up in church are leaving the church. 25% stay. And so they looked at what was the common denominators of the ones who stay. So I think that's what I wanted to want to know. Don't you want to know? I want you to look at some of these things and how practical they are. I want to encourage you with some very practical things today. First of all, they ate dinner 5 to 7 nights a week as a family. Something lost. No TV on, cell phones down. They just had dinner and they talked. Have you ever noticed in the New Testament how many significant things happened over meals? Jesus was always having meals with people. Significant. If we will just turn off the chatter and sit down and talk, how many of y'all think that's doable right there? Now, I know when you got kids, and Natalie and I, when we had five kids and they were in different activities and sports and in baseball and all over the place, there were times that we were having dinner at 9:15 at night when we converged back together. But we had dinner. We said, we're going to do this together. We're going to make it happen. Number two is they served with their family in ministry. They served with family in ministry. But that's doable, right? How about this? And this one really, really shocked me. They had one spiritual experience a week outside of church. Now, to me as a pastor, I thought this would be, they need 5 to 7 spiritual experiences every week, and they got to quote this and know this. That's what I thought. How many of y'all? I saw one. What I mean is the family sat down and had a spiritual experience at home without like it being connected in the building of a church. How many of y'all, that's doable. That's doable. Yeah. Here we go. Entrusted with responsibility and ministry at an early age. At an early age, they're entrusted with to serve and to serve in big ways. I think that's doable. Last but not least, they had at least one faith-focused adult in their lives other than parents. So you may be here today and you may be saying, I don't have kids. I'm younger. Wait a minute. If you'll take responsibility for others, if you'll be that faith-focused adult that can encourage one child, you can help them live for Jesus in years from now. How many of y'all know that's worth it? So it's a commitment. And I think sometimes we look at this and say, well, I can't affect the whole world. I'm just asking you to affect one. Just one. I'm so thankful. At Bridge City Church, right here in Murraysville, for Jared and Mary and Lindsay. I know I saw her here. There, Lindsay, just raise your hands right where you are. They're investing in a generation with junior and senior high school. They don't have to do that. I'm sure they could be doing whatever they wanted to do, but they're choosing to make a difference in a generation. Church, we should applaud that. They're not doing it for money. They're not doing it for prestige. I'm sure there's a lot of things that they could do in their lives on Tuesday night or Friday night and the phone calls and the texts and everything else, but they're choosing to make a difference. For them, I say thank you. For everybody, and she's with the kids serving in the back. And there's a lady in our church, Tina Stavros, that works with Embrace Grace, helping young girls who decided to keep their babies and serving them and training them. And actually, she's training other people on how to train them. We're multiplying ministry right now. Again, not just doing it ourselves, but multiplying and giving. She does that not because she has to, because something's in her that says there's a generation at stake. Those are the kind of things that we should applaud. Am I right or wrong? These are the kind of things that we applaud. And there's many, many other people as I look around that give towards children's ministry. And there's too many people here to name, and I'm not trying to leave anybody out. But, you know, and there's Pam Ank back there who for decades have invested into kids. And there's years, and now she's going, I'm going to serve again. She doesn't have to do that, but she chooses to do that. And again, I'm not trying to keep anybody here out. What I'm trying to say is that together, we don't have to make a commitment. I got to try to get everybody. I just want to affect one. If we'll affect one, I believe what we believe, if we live covenant, if we live the commandment, then that gives us a right to communicate the truths about God. I hope that you're encouraged today. I hope that you're edified. I hope that you say what we believe is worth passing on. What we believe, and we're going to stop the biblical illiteracy. We're going to stop these things in Jesus' name and say that, listen, what we're living for, it's worth it. Because there's a day that we're going to stand before God. If you heard anything today that is helpful to you, you say, man, this is helpful. This encouraged me. I needed to hear that. Just stand to your feet right now. I'm going to pray for you. If you heard anything at all, you say, wow, I needed to hear that. I didn't know that. Wow. Deuteronomy is an important book here. That's Shema. Lord God, I pray, Father, for every person that's standing right now. I ask you, God, to help train and equip us, Lord. God, on how to pass on what we believe and why we believe it, Lord. God, help us to be the best hammer and chiseler people on the planet, Lord. Lord God, doing it like it matters for you. Father God, I thank you, God, for a church that's willing to make an investment into a generation, Lord God. Lord God, help us live a generational church, God, passing on from one generation to the next, God, with joy and life, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, God, for this privilege, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Hey, you guys are just so, so awesome. Next week, we're going to be diving into what do we believe about Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday. You're not going to want to miss it. Hey, if you could be seated, Pastor Eric's going to come up and he's going to close us up. Thanks.